never thought grocery shopping would be this hard. I woke up early this morning. Well, let me backtrack. I went to Trader Joe's yesterday, the one on Hyde Street in San Francisco. I walked there. It's about a 10-minute walk from my place. I walked there last afternoon. The line is around the corner, completely around the corner, wraps around another building. I mean, it was an entire block. The line was an entire block, and I walked right by it, and I was like, I'll just go tomorrow. So I woke up early this morning, and I haven't been waking up very early lately, but I woke up early this morning to get there by 9 a.m. to make sure that I was there when the doors opened. And by the time I got there, I was a couple minutes late after 9 o'clock, but by the time I got there, the line was not only as long, but longer than it was yesterday. Trader Joe's on Hyde Street, the line went all the way. I went to the back of the line, and I stood there for about, I don't know, 3 minutes on the corner of Larkin and Pine Street. And a completely different block is where the line ended up. It was on a different street, this line, to get into Trader Joe's. And look, I know why Trader Joe's is doing it, and I think it's a great idea. You keep people in a line, and the line, by the way, is expanded because everybody's, you know, standing 6 to 8 feet away from each other, so... If people were standing at a normal distance, the line wouldn't be nearly as long. But still, it is a long line. And I stood there, and I was like, I can't do this. I don't really have all that much to do this morning, but I just, out of principle, won't stand in this line for however long it's going to take. I have no idea how long it's going to take. So I walked away. I left again. And now I've been to Trader Joe's now twice in the last 2 days, and I haven't even walked inside. And again, I get why they're doing it. You want to keep as few people in the store as possible, and you know, the whole social distancing thing, I think it makes a lot of sense. I, again, commend them for it. It's great, but I need to find the time that works, because apparently it's not in the morning and it's not in the afternoon. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. We got some stuff to get to today, including when NBA reporters think the NBA is going to come back, and we'll get to our Twitter polls later on, and an interesting article by the San Francisco Chronicle. But I want to start with last night's Warriors game. They did the re-air on NBC Sports Bay Area, as they've been doing, of Game 3 versus the Pelicans in 2015, in the first round of the 2015 playoffs. That was the game where Steph Curry hits back-to-back threes to erase a 20-point fourth-quarter deficit and force overtime. And it was one of those moments. It was during Steph's first MVP season. Anthony Davis was 21 years old. The Pelicans had him, Tyreek Evans, Drew Holiday. It was a good Pelicans team. I talked with Steve Kerr about that game for an article that I wrote for the Mercury News. And he said that as an eighth seed, that Pelicans team was a really good Pelicans team. That was a good eighth seed. And Anthony Davis, at any moment, could be the best player on the floor. And very often in that game three that re-aired, he was the best player on the floor. It was him and Ryan Anderson, apparently. Ryan Anderson had 20-something points. And he just couldn't miss. And the Warriors couldn't make a bucket for 3.5 quarters. I mean, they couldn't win. And it's funny, watching that game, you're listening to Bob Fitzgerald and then Jim Barnett doing color. And they're just like, okay, well, good. They're kind of doing their whole thing, congratulating the Pelicans on a win. The Warriors at the time were up 2-0 in the series. They were going to get it back to 2-1 and go back to Oracle. The Pelicans were going to go back to Oracle, down 2-1, have a chance to possibly tie it up. And they were starting to talk through those scenarios. And then all of a sudden, the Warriors go on this 17-4 run, cut the lead to 6, I think it was, at the end. Steph Curry hits a three-pointer at the end. They go almost the entire fourth quarter without making a single three-pointer. They couldn't make a bucket, okay? And Steph Curry just comes out of nowhere and hits back-to-back threes. And it was one of those sort of comebacks that just sort of slowly build. It wasn't one of those Warriors comebacks. It wasn't one of those just those Kevin Durant Warriors comebacks where they're down double digits. They're down 12 points or something. And then boom, boom, boom. You know, Klay, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, they all hit a few three-pointers and bam, they're winning, right? They just blow it open in the third quarter or something. It wasn't like that. Those were the fourth quarter comebacks that we had been used to seeing over the last few years. This was This was gradual. I mean, it was quick, but it was gradual. You know, you got a few stops here and there, but they didn't completely shut out the Pelicans. It wasn't all three-pointers. It was a lot of Sean Livingston getting to the basket, a lot of that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, they were in position. They brought it down. They got a 20-point deficit down to single digits, and they were in position. And then Steph Curry did what he does and capitalized on the moment and hit this ridiculous three-pointer falling out of bounds from the corner to tie the game, force overtime, and win the game. And the Warriors took a 3-0 lead in the series, and by then it was over. It was over. Everybody knew it was over. But to me, what was also interesting was watching Draymond Green on Anthony Davis. Now, this was Draymond Green in his prime, a year before he won Defensive Player of the Year, maybe 2 years before he won Defensive Player of the Year. But Anthony Davis, again, he was only 21 years old, not nearly at the peak of his powers, not as good as he is now, right now, for the Lakers, but it was interesting watching that Draymond Green defend that Anthony Davis, because the Warriors went small. And by the way, the Pelicans went small, too, with Anthony Davis at center, if you can even call it that. But the Warriors went small for almost the entire fourth quarter with Draymond Green at center, with the death lineup. Harrison Barnes, a power forward, for much of that fourth quarter. And it was interesting to watch Draymond Green defend Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis, I think, has gained a lot more muscle. He's gotten bigger. He's filled out his frame since he was 21 years old. And Draymond Green is not now the athlete he was then. But it was all IQ still, the way that he defended Anthony Davis. It was all, okay, I'm going to front him in the post. I'm going to play off of him when I can. I'm going to play aggressively against him when I can and just try to prevent him from getting the ball at all. And it was him preventing Anthony Davis from getting the ball defensively that helped spur that Warriors run just as much as those two three-pointers that Steph Curry hit at the end of regulation. I mean, Draymond Green basically shut down Anthony Davis, save for a couple of rebounds and tip-backs, but his defense at the end of that game against Anthony Davis was tremendous, and it was what I think helped the Warriors win that game. And the reason it's interesting is because if the Warriors are going to return to the playoffs next year, there is a good chance, if the Warriors are ever going to get back to the finals, there is a good chance they're going to have to go through the Lakers. LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the Lakers. And Draymond Green is the guy who is, over the years, in all their matchups against the Pelicans in the playoffs, in the regular season, over the years, it's been Draymond Green playing Anthony Davis. And so it'll be interesting to see how that shapes out. I mean, it was even this season when they played the Pelicans, or when they played the Lakers, excuse me, it was oftentimes Draymond Green guarding Anthony Davis. And I thought, overall, he's done a pretty good job against Davis in his career. Kerr told me that he thought that series was huge for that team building its own confidence. That was a stepping stone for that team. And this is all part of a Q&A I did for the Mercury News with Steve. And it was that coaching staff was trying to tell that team, that 2015 Warriors team, listen, you've already gone through the battles. You've already got the scars, right? This is my first year, Steve Kerr. That was his first year as a coach and for his coaching staff. But that doesn't mean that it was the Warriors' first year in the playoffs. He says, like Jordan's Bulls having to get through the Pistons and all these things, you need to go through those playoff failures in order to get to the finals. But that team had already gone through those things against the Clippers and against those Spurs, losses to those teams. They've already gone through that. Steph, Clay, Draymond, they've already gone through that under Mark Jackson. Steve Kerr shows up. They're ready now. He believed they were ready to make a run, and he was right. And he thought that series was really important in providing that sort of confidence and as a stepping stone to what ended up being their finals run. That next series was the Memphis Grizzlies series, where they famously put Andrew Bogut on Tony Allen, so basically they didn't have anybody on Tony Allen, and just crowded the paint and just shut down Memphis Grizzlies and basically ended grit and grind from Memphis. So really interesting game. I'm glad NBC decided to re-air that one. But we'll get out of the segment with that. This is Locked On Warriors. This is the Echelon Fit ad to get fit in 2020. You don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their X1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everybody, busy moms and dads, first responders, and elite athletes whatever your activity level. And with the daily live and on-demand studio classes right at your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, they will give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited-time free Apple iPad and complete details on this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N, fit.com/LONBA. Echelonfit.com/LONBA. ESPN is re-airing Games 5 and 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals on Wednesday night. NBC Sports Bay Area conveniently not showing games from that Finals series. Blew a 3-1 lead. It's all about LeBron James. It's all about the Cavaliers over there on ESPN. NBC Sports has been showing basically every other Finals series. They've been showing a lot of other classic games and things like that. I don't know how I feel about them not showing the 2016 one, because those were good games. I mean, that Game 7, where, I mean, look, I know that the Cavaliers won, Kyrie hits the shot, blah, 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 but Draymond Green had one of his best games, if not the best game of his entire career. I mean, those were good basketball games. Why not show those games? Those were awesome games. I mean, that whole series was great. Game 1 was amazing. I mean, that was a great series. Like, why not? Like, we know what happens. Are Warriors fans going to be upset by showing that? I don't. Like, we know they lose. Why not go back and try to appreciate that? I mean, that might have been one of the best seasons ever. Might have been one of the best finals ever. And that Warriors team might have been one of the best ever. So, I mean, the 73 win season, all of that. I'm a little disappointed that their NBC Sports is not showing it. I'm curious to see what you guys think, but glad that ESPN is at least showing it. I'm going to be watching those games later tonight. Mark Cuban recently said that he has no idea when the NBA will return, which, you know, is in line with most of what other NBA officials and other people are talking about, but it is backtracking his own statements on him, you know, originally being pretty optimistic that the NBA regular season could even return, maybe even possibly in May. And look, I think that there's been a lot of confusion about when, just in general, things will get started again, when normal society will resume. And I think Mark Cuban has been more optimistic than most people. I know there's a lot of people who are just completely pessimistic that don't think that not only will the regular season not come back, but the postseason probably won't be played. And the argument for that is, well, it took one player to get coronavirus, to test positive with coronavirus, to shut the entire thing down. And given that this vaccine is not going to be available for a year, at least, what if another player, like, what if the postseason restarts and another player tests positive who is on a playoff team? Would they have to shut it down again? And I think part of how you mitigate that risk is to obviously test all the players who end up playing in whatever sort of postseason the NBA comes up with. But are tests going to be available? Are that many tests going to be available? And is it the right thing to even do at that point if millions of Americans also need tests? Would it be okay for them to do that? I mean, there are so many things. It's more than just where can we play and how can we play. It is what players can play and how do we mitigate the risk? How do we make sure, how do we prevent from having to shut this thing down again? And they have to be ready for that. And, you know, our president, I think, wrongly claimed that he was hoping that things would be opened up by Easter. That does not seem to be the case anymore. He has also backtracked on that. And, you know, the White House briefing on Tuesday, they basically all said that these next 2 weeks are going to be really bad. And not to get dark on this podcast, but this is what we're dealing with. You know, we're going to, you know, we can get over 100,000 deaths in the U.S. And, like, if these next 2 weeks are going to be worse than these last couple weeks were, which, based on the curves and everything that we're looking at and all the data, I mean, they are going to be worse. It is only getting worse. And it seems like the worse things get, the more pessimistic things in the NBA get as far as a potential return. And so I don't know where I look. I've already completely ruled out the idea of, I don't think the Warriors will play another game. There will be no more regular season games. I don't think it's possible. I think if you open up the season, the regular season, even a few games to 30 NBA teams, that is so much more difficult to do than to just opening up the season to the playoff teams, to the 16 playoff teams. Okay, if you just kind of basically take half the teams, that's easier to deal with than all the teams. And so for that reason, I think that the regular season, you just cancel it. You scratch it. Don't even consider it coming back. And I don't think that the Warriors really think that it's going to be coming back. People I talk to in the Warriors are preparing for the offseason, not a regular season, okay? They're sort of acting like this thing's not coming back either. So if anything comes back, it'll be a postseason. And even then, I think it'll be very short. It'll be just sort of condensed to maybe 3-game series, 5-game series, fewer travel days, maybe even some back-to-backs, just to get it over with. Because the longer it goes, the more risk there is that another player can succumb to COVID-19 and just have to shut the whole thing down again, which would be, again, very expensive, very bad for the NBA, if they ever even get to that point. But again, I don't know that they can get to that point, based on all the hoops that they're going to have to jump through to get there, and where this country might be, in May or June. Every day that goes by, there's a lot of things to think about, but, one of the things I'm thinking about is how all of this impacts the league, the NBA, and you look at, places like China, they've been trying to restart their league for a month now, and they can't get it done because of all these, again, these hoops that all of these people have to jump through. It's going to be tough, and I get more and more pessimistic by the day that there will be, any postseason whatsoever. Let's get out of the segment there, and coming up next, we will get to our Twitter polls and an interesting article that I read that I want to share with you. This is Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. When you get done here, you can tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of other Locked On Network podcasts, including Fantasy Basketball. Ether Mobley of the San Francisco Chronicle wrote an interesting article this morning, headlined, "The Bay Area is drinking 42% more alcohol than usual while sheltered in place," which, that sounds right to me, only because, look, I think I've been drinking more lately. I think, I'm not getting crazy here, but definitely, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock rolls around and, you grab a beer out of the fridge or whatever. I mean, you might start watching Netflix, doing your thing. Doesn't surprise me at all. And so I want to read this bit here. And so this was a study done by Backtrack, which is a breathalyzer product based on just people saying, it was a study based on people saying that they're drinking more, anecdotal evidence. And so they decided to go ahead and do some studying. And according to this breathalyzer company, the average blood alcohol concentration in the Bay Area, at least among users who opted to share their results on Tuesday, March 17th, was 0.045%, which represents a 125% jump from the pre-quarantine Tuesday average of 0.02%. The fact that March 17th was also St. Patrick's Day could explain the excessive drinking, or maybe it was just how people decided to cope with the first full day of sheltered in place. On Sunday, March 22nd, the average BAC was 0.077%, a 133% climb over the average pre-quarantine Sunday levels of 0.033% and rather close to the legal limit for driving. The only day in which Bay Area BAC levels dropped was Friday, March 20th, when the average BAC was 0.02%, a 50% decrease from the pre-quarantine Friday level of 0.04%. The data exactly matches our thesis going in. Drinking was up on previously non-drinking days, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, whereas Friday was down dramatically. Why? People aren't going to happy hours on Fridays. They're not going to bars or restaurants. That, to me, was really interesting. I have friends in the alcohol industry. I used to work in the alcohol industry. I still have a lot of friends in the alcohol industry. They've been busy, right? They've been busy selling. I mean, these stores are selling out of liquor, of beer, of wine, and they're selling out fast. And, I know that Postmates and things like that are distributing a lot of liquor and alcohol now, and their sales are through the roof for these things. It's, I mean, of all the industries that have been hurt bad, and bars and restaurants have been hurt bad, but on the flip side, the convenience stores and the grocery stores and the liquor stores that are still open for business have been thriving because that's the only place to go get alcohol, and America loves to drink. Let's check our Twitter polls. Are you drinking more? 46.7% of you said yes. 53.3% of you said no. I don't know if that means that you were already drinking a lot before, so you were not changing your drinking habits whatsoever, or if you're just not succumbing to drinking more while sheltered in place at home. But 46, almost 47% of you said yes. Poll, crunchy or smooth? 59% of you said crunchy. 41% of you said smooth. 59% of you are right. And poll, is social distancing a great way to get out of plans? 89.7% of you said yes. 10% of you said no. We got one reply that said, what are plans? That's a good point. Thanks for listening, and please stay inside.